Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 11. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was a glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. Their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I prefer laconic speech. I like the pithy, the memorable, above all, the brief, especially when it's Dr. Serena's Thursday to preach. But anyone can repeat the short cliche and not know its meaning. St. Paul, never a fan of brevity, delivers a pithy short phrase today. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Do you know what this means? In the Middle Ages, sometimes it was applied to reading the Bible. The letter is what the text seems to say plainly, and that can't be right. The spirit of the text is anyone's guess. Just kidding, only the Pope gets to guess. Usually, though, we hear this applied to rules, right? Don't be rigid and strict following it to the letter. Follow the spirit of the thing. That's airy, that's free-floating. And all these understandings of this phrase are wrong. Line up Paul's words and read the chapter as we have, and you will learn what it's really all about. Letter and spirit, condemnation and righteousness, death and life, law and gospel. The old covenant letters were cut in rigid stone for a reason. The Bible itself puts forward the Ten Commandments as our pedagogical shorthand for the law, even for Moses, as we heard today. Moses is the law's minister. He's the one who is speaking for God. Now, God was capable of speaking for himself, remember? He thundered from Mount Sinai, and the Israelites were afraid to listen to him, lest they would die. And God said, well, you're right about that. That's the ministry of the law, carved in letters on stone, summed up in God's Ten Commandments, commanding that his glorious and good will be done among us, and convicting anyone who ever defied it to a gloriously terrible death. Now at Sinai, Moses spoke very well. Fear not, for God has come to test you, he says. That is, to expose, to diagnose sin, so that something can be done about it. How can your terminal condition be given its cure if you won't even recognize that condition? But Doc Moses did not always follow through and give it to them straight, Paul says. He wore a mask. He sometimes hid behind a veil so that the full picture wouldn't quite hit them, and they would keep the outcome of the law, their death and their condemnation, out of view. Now that is what the false opinion of God's law in all of us would have and would want to maintain. That maybe it isn't actually so set in stone. I mean, if that were the case, we'd all be guilty. That can't be right. Stones, sometimes I hear, are flexible and evanescent. They change with the spirit of the times. They adapt to my wishes and my abilities and my spirit. Well, you pick your own metaphor, but this is what our sinful hearts do. Lower the bar, slip the knot, grade on a curve, avoid the divine doctor's office. Paul likes the metaphor of the veil, especially because that veil is shifty. It can be moved all over the place. It can be moved from Moses' face onto the law itself to obscure it a little bit, to decorate it maybe, to soften it, until at last we are the ones with a bag over our heads, lying only to ourselves. Now, New Testament preachers, we are not to be ultimately ministers devoted to the law and to the letter, but those devoted to the Spirit and the gospel. Now, that doesn't mean that we dissolve away the tablets of the law into shifting sand. What it means is that we do not prop up or decorate the law with veils to achieve something that it cannot. We let it have its glory. And we let that be a glory that is brought to an end. We let our hearers see that God says they are convicted and sentenced to eternal death according to the works of the law. And that only forgiveness in Christ Jesus can cure this. We are very bold, as Pastor Hemmer said on Tuesday, to show that no one can escape with his big head. Indeed, as our Lutheran confessions say, Jesus, of all people, Jesus is the one who takes the veil off the law in the power of the Spirit, no less, so that first its full and its devastating glory would shine, so that only he would be left as an answer. You know his words. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of scribes and Pharisees, unless you are perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. Now this is a glorious thing to slay the wicked. You know that. You know how you've raged that fantasy before. Well, that's the glory that God's law has. The right reading of his law sees that only he, only Jesus, may throw the first stone. So back to the top of our text today. What preacher is sufficient to be so bold as this? God's commands and his law, how can they be preached in the way that Jesus does in the New Testament by me, by you, since this law condemns all of us, including the Lutheran preacher? Well, no sufficiency comes from any of us. It comes from the New Testament in Christ's blood. All Christian confidence comes from the surpassing glory of the new covenant, the gospel. That's what has no end. Such then is the source of the confidence toward God that you all have through Christ. Confidence to confess your sins plainly, masklessly, before God before your pastor, before those whom you have sinned against. This is the confidence to stand up for what the Lord has said, what is right, even if others would accuse you of being rigid or even spiritless. And it is the source of confidence to bear humbling accusations and even lies against you, as Saint Paul did. Because your life comes from the forgiveness of your sins for Christ's sake. The one who bore condemnation and death and brought the law to an end in himself, in your place. Let me tell you, there is nothing flimsy or guessed or cliche about the forgiveness of your sins. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.